So I got a subject, actually.
Oh, yeah?
It was something I was thinking about on the way home. I'd be happy to call this a guide and just sort of fart around with the idea for a little bit.
Okay.
But then next week we have to do something free.
Yeah.
We could do Pokemon Mo.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, that's morally questionable, but I'll talk about it.
Okay. We are but mere observers.
Like Uatu, the Watcher.
Yeah. We scream, ignore me.
Oh.
Into the sky?
Yeah. I guess that is like the same thing. Uatu the Watcher is like this comic book character who stands on the moon and watches things.
Who watches Uatu?
I don't know. The Watchmen? That's what that's about, right?
I think. No.
It's going to be revealed in Before Watchmen. Before Watchmen highlights, it's time to shit to watching the Watchmen.
Oh, so Patrick Klefik posted a dumb thing this morning that was the name of the game was the weird videotape that came in the mail.
Oh no.
And it's a game about watching weird VHS tapes that come in the mail with your creepy uncle.
What?
And also you're gross and it was really dumb.
Ew.
You dream about a mall at one point and then you climb into a cocoon.
Is this a video game?
Yes.
It sounds gross.
It's like one of those like webpage-based text adventures. I think the dude built it in a wiki.
Okay. Oh, weird.
So.
Oh, that would... Okay. I should check that out. That sounds gross.
It was super gross.
Speaking of Giant Bomb stuff, were you around for the end?
I caught the first half of the Big Live Show live.
Were you around for the end when Brad was trying to get, like, this Modern Warfare 3 achievement?
That
was like, it was like, go through this airplane and find the VIP and save his ass within, like, 30 seconds or something?
Yeah.
It took him about a solid half hour or so.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he get it?
Yeah, wow. He did in the end.
No, I was there when he tried to do Speedlunky, which was beat Speedlunky in 8 minutes with no shortcuts, and he got into the forest once, and it was dark, and he died. Like, he stepped vaguely to the left into a spike trap, and that run was over, and he never saw the forest again.
So he was trying to beat the entire game in 8 minutes, and he made it to the jungle once.
In a 15-minute segment, yeah. Did you see the end of the Warlords tournament?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, because I saw the first two rounds, which was everything but the finals. I was kind of sad. Like, I saw all of the first half of that show, and I really wanted to watch the second half.
I forgot that it was going on for most of the day, and then I was... What day was that?
Last Friday.
I think I actually played some StarCraft that day.
Oh.
I've been...
Did you buy one of their bootleg limited run t-shirts?
No. They actually sold those?
Well,
China don't care?
Because... Ryan Davis put out a shirt that was bright pink with black impact font that just said, China don't care! To which Jeff Gerstmann put up a counter bootleg shirt, which was black with bright pink impact letters that just said, fuck Ryan Davis.
Yeah! Okay, fantastic.
And like the first 20 minutes of being on air was just them talking about the shirts and telling each other off, and also whoever was in the control booth keep putting up the pictures of the wrong shirts from the website.
Fuck that, I just want a Team Brad shirt.
They had explosion wipes.
What?
Like the screen exploded, and it was a new scene. And they kept using it, and it kept being dumb and great.
Was the Big Live show, I mean, that had to have been recorded for future watching, right?
I don't think so.
Oh no.
I mean, it was a Big Live show live. It would be for premium members anyway.
Oh, dag. I'm not a premium member, and I caught some of it while it was live.
No, so their idea behind it is, like, that is, like, basically what they do instead of a fun drive. Where they're just like, hey, listen, today we're going to spend the whole day, like, doing a free stream of all of the stuff that we put out basically year-round that is normally premium-only content.
How much is it for their premium service?
$50 for a year. I think you get a $15 coupon to the store, or that may have been during the live show only.
Hmm.
During the live show, premium subscribers got a secondary feed of Dave Snyder's Snake Pit, which was, you could see in the background of the Ryan Davis shot, where they were just sitting there, taking calls, I guess, and doing the 100 nuggets in 100 minute challenge.
Oh no!
With a diabetic man.
That's like,
I don't know if he died by the end.
When MLG went paid for their arenas and stuff.
Yeah.
There was, I forget what event it was, but there was some event where there was another stream sponsored by Dr. Pepper, I think.
Ooh.
There was the Dr. Pepper stream that you could only get to if you were a paying member.
Yeah.
And I think all it was like a camera inside the player's break room.
Huh.
So you could just watch dudes in between matches.
Taking a break. That's all right.
I don't know if I'd pay $20 for the weekend to see that, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Oh.
I think I bought the first arena. That's actually weird, because a while back, like, it came full circle, and, like, it obviously... This obviously wasn't actually the logic behind it, but, like, some MLG spokespeople came forward, and they were like, yeah, this whole paid arena thing has been working out so well for us that we're scrapping it. They're gonna be free now.
What?
And everyone with half a brain was just like, well, that doesn't make any goddamn sense. And they were just like, yeah, it's not because of subscriber numbers or anything. It's just, for the community.
Huh.
So that was kind of funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick.
I'm Ryan.
And this is the Gaiden. If you couldn't tell.
Oh, boy.
Did you have a thing to talk about?
A podcast for the week of
Sunday the 16th. Because this was the deadline, so that number's burned into my brain.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Woo! Okay, so here's what I was thinking about on the drive home.
Okay.
Okay, so Doom?
Yeah.
Co-op?
Yeah.
Like, playing in the same room is, like, the great reason for that, right?
Yeah, co-op.
Okay, so here's the thing that I was thinking. You have, like, a dark room, because it's Doom.
Oh, boy.
And then you put the TVs, like, back-to-back, so the only thing you see besides your own screen is
the other person's face.
The face of the person you're playing with. And I was thinking, they kind of built that into Doom already, because you see your face in a little box in the corner of the window, right?
Yeah.
No, but tell me how perfect this is, because I think this is, like, super perfect. Like, that face conveys a lot of information.
Yeah. It gets bloodied as you're losing health.
It is a fuzzy, like, health number indicator. It gets angry when
you're getting hit.
When you're shooting. It shows pain when you're getting hurt. Like, if you just add in, like, a state of, like, being scared or, like, being outnumbered or something like that, you can make it, like, a very vague, like, state of a character.
Mm.
So then just put that, like, down in the lower right-hand corner of all the people you're playing with, and now you have vague indicators of the people you're playing with.
Oh, so then you just have status of all of the people on your team.
Yeah. But then it's and, like, you could do that with, like, a live camera. I think that's kind of like what Star Fox DS was kind of doing, because they would just show your picture over your ship as you were playing multiplayer.
They did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No.
Was it, like, an updated video, or was it just, like, it took a picture of you at the start?
I'm pretty sure it was kind of updated video. At least during, like, the score roundup, it was live video.
So then when would it show it to people? Would it be on,
when,
like, the
when they were
screen?
On screen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so when they could see your ship, it would just
kind of
have
that
floating
over
around.
Your shit. Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
But, especially for Doom, consider this. What if the feed goes out?
Oh, that's scary.
Because that could if that happens at times other than when they're dead...
That's very spooky.
That is hidden information. That will frighten the fuck out of you. Because suddenly you don't know things, but basically you have to assume they are gone. Like if it always happens when they're dead, and sometimes when they're not, that could be the worst thing.
Whoa.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's easier to do in-game instead of shooting up, like, a giant, like, black screen of your your friend
yeah.
between the TVs.
That's a very interesting idea.
Isn't it? I thought maybe this discussion would turn into a thing of, like, status indicators in games or something.
Okay.
But, like, Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only game I can really think of.
Yeah, like a squad-based horror game, I think, could use that mechanic.
Actually, no, Monster Hunter does it even better than Left 4 Dead does.
Yeah.
Because Monster Hunter shows you when you have buffs and debuffs and the health status of every player on your team, even if you can't see them.
And when and if a large monster is looking at them or not.
Yeah, like, should they be scared?
Yeah.
I have an idea.
Okay.
I don't know if this will work, but I'm going to do it. It's going to take me a moment.
Okay.
I'm going to put out a tweet.
I'll just vamp for the mic here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You got to be very Dr. Not Dr. Doom, not Dr. Kevorkian. What doctor has a cat that he strokes?
Dr. No.
There you go.
I think it was Dr. No.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of tweeting you.
Dr. Dick. That's a good song. I'm not even joking. That's like a really good song. It's fucking danceable. Not that I really dance or anything. Go ask fucking Rim of Geek Nights. He's a dude who's vaguely more reputable than me. He'll back me up. He's down with Dr. Dick. Go ask Jesse. He'll tell you about Dr. Dog Dick, and then I will hit him. This got really blue really fast. I'm sorry. Nick is tweeting, and I'm just talking, and without, like, a moderating force here, I'm really not suitable for the public. I apologize for every time I started off a podcast just by blurting out something like just inane and vaguely pornographic or obscene and upsetting. I sincerely apologize for that. This went from blue to real, but...
It went from blue to apologetic.
I mean, that's just where I'm at. I'm sorry for myself.
Like, is there a name for the emotion when you resent yourself?
Self-loathing. I don't know anything more specific, really. There probably is one. Maybe, like, in French or German. Oh, no, what was, that Pink Floyd lyric about, something being the British way? It wasn't quiet desperation, but maybe something with the same rhythm.
All in all, it's just another kick in the balls.
English way. Thought I'd something more to say.
How are you doing, Tumblr?
Fuck! Oh, boy.
No, part of that will probably get cut out for either... No, we can't do the opening, because half the podcast is a cold open, and then...
Your fucking giant bomb update. Like, just in case you don't actually want to keep up with the website of the giant bomb, don't worry, we're here to just kind of rehash it, because we're amused by successful people.
Do you have anything else going on? I've been doing comics all week. The Big Live Show came on, and that was... They kept me company.
I played some Planet Side 2, and I made some, like, candied jalapenos.
Oh, hey. That could be great.
Yeah, yeah. I'm planning to, like, I bought 3 pounds of jalapenos. I took about half a pound of them the other day, and they're not really... They're not, like, properly canned, so they're not gonna, like, keep forever.
Yeah.
And they're also not gonna get to their, like... They're not going to, you know, spend 2 weeks mellowing out or whatever.
Yeah.
But you can candy
but
the fuck
you,
out of
you
them.
Take some jalapenos and you boil them in, like, cider vinegar and sugar and celery seed, turmeric, cayenne pepper, and garlic.
Ooh.
And you wind up with, like, these crunchy, spicy, sweet monstrosities.
That sounds fantastic. I want some.
I put some in some eggs this morning. I had a little breakfast burrito. That was rather nice.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to eating more of those. I have to go out and get, like, some proper canning jars. But I want to make a bunch of them this season, this fall, and give them to people. Would you like a jar of candied jalapenos?
I would love a jar of candied jalapenos.
All right, cool. Just let me get the jar back when you're done.
All right.
Okay.
That's okay. I think I heard we might... No, that was from you. Something about 50 mason jars.
I don't know if I'm actually getting those mason jars.
Oh, dude, that sucks.
My dad never did anything with them.
I mean, we don't even have enough masons left, really.
Yeah.
Or do we?
Now that I'm driving, like, a lot more, every once in a while as I'm driving into a town, I see a sign that's just like, there's a Masonic temple here. Masons, free and welcomed. And I'm wow. just like, is there a time when people, like, were violently discriminatory against Freemasons?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
I'm no time traveler, but...
I mean, they're kind of spooky, and I don't know what their deal is, but, like, I don't want to throw a brick through their building.
Yeah, no. Some people don't like spooky things. And some people just don't like spooky things. Goddamn box exploded. There's cookies on it. I don't think I got cookies on it.
What? This conversation is too spooky.
I mean, so... Like, apparently I got into the Hawken Alpha, but I also had, like, a trip... in a delirious mode to a diner the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Basically because we were going out for food, and then we forgot that we were going out for food, and that was the last restaurant, like, by the time we remembered, that diner was the last restaurant before we hit Vermont.
Were you just, what?
No, like, we went out for food and then forgot while we were driving.
You were just, so you just kept driving?
Yeah. We almost hit Vermont, and then we remembered, and then the last thing that was available was... No, okay, so there was also a Stewart's a little past the diner.
Oh, get you some, shitty iced tea.
Yeah. I don't know, man, like, 3 a.m., go to a diner and get some fries? That's how you do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there's diners open at, like, 3 a.m.
There is.
Yeah.
There was.
Yeah.
We were lucky.
Oh, God, I don't want to go to work tomorrow. I want to go to a diner, like, 4 hours from now.
Yeah, same here.
Sounds but like you're not going to work tomorrow.
No. Well,
I'm going to Lodi to do fucking cart installs.
Gross.
I'm going to drive my own car.
Oh, what was that? Nah.
What?
I don't know. I think there's going to be another sentence there, and then I stopped caring.
Man, it means nothing to the listeners because the specifics of my job are, like, super boring. But, like, I had to fucking drive around with two constructed welcome centers and an 8-foot bench plexi in the back of my car the other day, and it was balls. I fucking couldn't see out of my car.
Ugh.
Like, I could fit the 8-foot plexi in my car by, like, sliding it alongside the right side of my car so that it blocked all the windows on that side.
Yeah.
And I was just like, boy, I sure hope that no cop has, like, takes issue to this because my car's out of inspection.
Oh.
Because two of the sensors in it weren't working before... The oil pan just opened up while I was driving and poured smoke through the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that thing will pass inspection.
Are the lights on?
Yes. The lights have been on since I bought it.
Oh. Did it pass inspection last time?
Yeah. Because they got tired and they were like, fuck it. The machine's printing you out a ticket. Good enough for us.
I'd be happy with a pizza.
Yeah, you want pizza?
Yeah.
It's not 10:20.
7:48.
So mommy will be home soon.
Yeah. Okay.
Dude.
Two pizzas.
Do you think I could bum a slice off you before I take off?
Okay, no, the more
cool.
The more interesting food story was actually how we went to a pizza place because we wanted pizza, but then instead of getting pizza, we got an order of sweet potato fries, which then we saved because we went to another place to eat, to meet up with people and eat. But really what happened is we ordered a sweet potato fries because we didn't think we would get sweet potato fries where we were going. And then when we got there, the people we were meeting up with had already ordered an order of sweet potato fries. So then we had bonus sweet potato fries.
Do you know what's so, so good?
What?
Sweet potato fries?
Fuck yeah. We got a bag of sweet potato fries in the fucking freezer right now.
Oh my God.
It's right over there. It's in the studio.
Why don't I plant potatoes?
Why don't you plant sweet potatoes?
Yeah.
Dude.
Like, I don't think they need very good soil or anything.
They're potatoes.
Yeah, they're fucking potatoes. They grow them in Ireland because they couldn't grow anything else there.
Yeah.
Not sweet potatoes, though. I believe those are African in origin.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
They're, like... I'm curious... Sometimes I get curious about culinary history.
That's fine.
Because, like,
that's
the tomato is a North American plant.
Yeah.
Or a South American plant.
Okay,
I don't know.
Okay.
It's a New World plant. What was Italian cuisine like before the 1400s? They didn't have any tomatoes.
A lot of basil? Parmesan.
Like, a lot of olives, I guess?
A lot of pasta and cheese?
Like, I guess it was more like Greek food? With, like, yogurt and olives and stuff?
That makes sense. Greek food's all right.
Yeah, Greek food's really good.
Oh,
I want to make some fucking tzatziki.
Go to a diner and get a gyro.
What was it that I was listening to? It was greatest movie ever.
Can we start a gyro cast?
Where they were talking about the Conan.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they came up, but, like...
Because Dave and Joel were there.
Yeah, but, like, Goobazilla was like, look, I'm not down with goat outside of the context of a gyro. No, it's just like, I feel you, man, because I have had pretensions of thinking I know how the word gyro is pronounced in the original Greek, but I don't, so I just say gyro or gyro or whatever.
See, gyro makes
just
sense.
Give me a fucking flatbread with some plug meat on it.
The classic way to serve a gyro is off of a plug.
Spinning?
It's in a spinning cylinder.
Yeah, yeah.
A gyro.
Man, I should just get one of those grills. Put it in the back of my car, and take it all the way across the country.
All right. Why?
Because then I could be, like, going across the country. So we were talking about the idea of giving you information about your teammates in a co-op game and then taking it away for spooky effect.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there has been any game that's worked with that, because I like that idea very much. Like, if you look at any horror movie, like, a lot of the time, the way that they build horror is by separating the characters.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, just knowing how your friends are doing and whether or not your friends are dead or not is a very basic human desire.
Yeah. It is unknown information. It is, I don't know what's happening, but there's a possibility it is the worst thing.
Yeah, it might be the most terrible thing.
I mean, sometimes that's what tension is. It's building up to saying, like, oh my
Actually,
God, is this the most terrible thing?
It's kind of weird. The one thing that I can think of that's kind of similar to this is in League of Legends.
Really?
Are you familiar with the champ Nocturne?
Yes.
His ultimate, what it does is it teleports him to an enemy champ, like, just so he can beat him up or whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it does a global effect where champions on the other team don't share vision anymore.
Oh,
like,
God.
You don't get vision from minions or towers or from champs on your team anymore.
Oh, God, that's frightening.
So, like, the screen just turns red. There's this, like, spooky cackling, and you know that if it's not you, someone on your team is getting it really bad right now.
Yeah. So, and now, like, here's the thing, and here's why it kind of works best, like, I think, only in non-competitive settings, is because taking knowledge away from the players makes the game, like, less deterministic, and players fucking hate that.
Yeah. Actually, this is one thing, it's not exactly the same thing, but it was something that I realized why I don't really like competitive fighting games.
Okay.
Just in general, is because the way that you win those games is by taking away control from the other player. Like, you just do your really big combo, and it's just like, if I can keep this going, you can't do anything for, like, 6 seconds.
Yeah. I was like that was an idea for another roundtable I was coming up with, because I can think of, like, maybe 5 different fighting systems in general. There's Tekken, which is... Speaking of Tekken, like, Tekken... The Tekken style is really long combo chains, so just memorize that shit and then be able to get yours out first. Like, wait for the opening and then get yours out and just get the other person in the air until they're dead.
Is that how it goes in that game?
That's how you play Tekken.
Okay.
That's pretty much how you play Tekken.
I've never played Tekken with, like, high-level players or anything, so I don't know.
Me neither, but, like, the way that game is set up, because it's about juggling and it's about...
Oh, okay.
...getting your entire... It's every character... So, and here's the thing that I realized. Imagine you were playing Tekken.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these long strings of buttons and combos and stuff. Instead of playing on, like, imagine you were playing on, like, a Beatmania controller.
Okay.
And you, or even just, like, a keyboard.
Sure.
And then replace the combo strings with sheet music. Tekken!
Okay.
Actually, well, that would actually be sort of interesting, like a
competitive music game?
Yeah, like imagine, like, a rock band where, like, you had, like, certain riffs that you could get out and you kind of had to memorize them, and then it was sort of just about, like, getting in between your opponent's riffs or something like that.
Oh, just, like, forcing your way in.
Or, see, but that's the difference, though, because...
Like, you just let them play for a while, it's like, oh, I hear the gap in that, and then you just fucking wail in.
Yeah, but then here's the thing. Like, in something like a rock band, if you were to do something like that, I imagine it would be... It would be sort of like an overpowering kind of thing. So it was like there's no reason if one person is playing, the other person can't. Like, you could make that even better. If you can find something that, like, syncs up with the other person's and then
override it.
And then, or, like, if they have, like, some sort of combo going, if you can sync up with, like, their last note and then you pick up on it and then you steal their combo multiplier and chain it.
Oh, my God.
Chaining combo between enemies sounds like... Oh, God.
Was the battle mode in Konamics like that?
No.
Because I know it kind of passed back and forth, but it wasn't really... You weren't influencing each other.
No, you weren't influenced. Basically...
You never sent garbage steps.
Basically, it was just making it, like, a little easier on both by sort of making a little back and forth going in, which was really good and actually added to some of the theatrics of that. And that's why that battle mode is better than any of the Magic Dance stuff.
I never played in that Magic Dance stuff.
It was really terrible. I mean, if you like using all of the hard modes in DDR, then
fucking
it's all right.
Dance. What do you mean, all the hard modes?
Like, when it, like, makes things disappear or when they start wavering.
Fuck. Oh, is that what it does?
That's what magic dance is. That like gross. If you do something, if you build up enough, it'll turn one of those on for your opponent.
I remember if it was like Supernova or was there a Supernova 2 that got released? I remember playing through the campaign mode of that because those games had campaign modes.
Yeah.
I've got Supernova at home. I should keep going through in that campaign mode.
Was Supernova the one with iToy support? So that you could like throw into the upper right hand corners?
Maybe.
I don't know. That one was.
But I couldn't find the disc. That's why I'm not playing more Supernova. Fuck.
So...
Hold on!
But Tekken...
Oh, yeah, mine's just a dumb tangent. You go back to...
Alright, so one of them is Tekken. Another one of them is Street Fighter. Because Street Fighter is about, like... I don't think... Like, if you're really tricky, maybe you can get, like, 5-hit combos out. But a lot of them are about being... Just, like knowing the little combos. Because then that doesn't have the aspect of, like, you're juggled forever. Like, there's always...
Yeah,
like, it basically builds in, like, openings everywhere.
I think Street Fighter is more about, like, zoning, like, territory control, footsies, and that sort of stuff.
I think it's about, like... It's less about change and a lot more about the mix-up. Because then what you end up doing is you end up trying to, like, mix together these, like, 3 or 4 hit combos. And then that's so about, like, you know, when should I be jumping? When should I be down? When is he going to mix up? When is he just going to go straight? When is he going to do an ultra? Like, where are the gaps and that to put that in? Mm. Like, that's probably why that works out so well, because it doesn't constantly take control away from you. There's a lot of mixing, and it's basically deterministic, and it's all about choice of what the other player is going to do.
Yeah, because there's more, like, discrete different kinds of moves. Like, there's EX moves, and there's moves where you have, like, you know, just a bit of armor and stuff like that.
Especially as they've gotten on and they've added those things.
Yeah.
But, like I have Street Fighter 2 upstairs for the SNES. If we play a little of that, you'll feel it. Like, that's why it still feels like Street Fighter, because it was... Because apparently that, like, the whole combo thing was just a glitch.
Yeah.
Like, they accidentally, like, skipped frames in between certain moves, and that was how the combo system started. It was an accident. It was a bug. Okay, so Street Fighter is 2. 3 is Soul Calibur. The idea of Soul Calibur, like, Soul Calibur doesn't really have combos, per se.
It does.
A couple of them, but it's that same sort of thing, where it's like, a lot of times what it's actually about is it's about, like... one or two big hits and a bit about, like, frame priority, about knowing, like, okay, he's going to leave himself open here or I'm going to swing around here.
Mm.
They have a little bit of that, like...
There's a lot more, like, sidestepping moves and counter moves and stuff.
Yeah, like that is, like, not exactly zoning, but is more about
more
position.
Positional, yeah.
You have the Mortal Kombat, which Mortal Kombat is surprisingly projectile-based.
Yeah, it is.
Because I've noticed, like, in, like, high-level play with, like, Street Fighter and stuff, you don't zone with projectiles.
You kind of just throw them into your combo. You can. Yeah.
Like a lot, I think I've seen like a lot of Ryu where you're throwing Hadoukens.
Yeah.
When you're adjacent,
when it's just like punch. I can combo into a Hadouken.
Yeah, but Mortal Kombat, like, you know, they have the light and the heavy, and, you know, high and low and whatever, and that ends up being a lot of like, okay, here's a short throw, here's a long throw, here's a short teleport, here's a long teleport, here's a go off the back of the screen, here's a come on the front of the screen, and
yeah,
I think it's
a
been,
lot of teleports, a lot of projectiles.
I think it's been that way basically since maybe like 3. And then there's a little bit in there, like, Mortal Kombat doesn't really have combos. Like, it does, but again, like, nobody has
but
more.
But they're, like, 2-3-hit combos.
Yeah, like,
they're not, like,
I'm pretty sure nobody has,
I'm pretty sure there are just full damage combos in Tekken.
Yeah. And, like, the thing, like, in Street Fighter, like, if you know a good combo and you're against somebody who has no idea, like, where the gaps in it are, it could basically be, like, a full damage combo. In Mortal Kombat, it is very, very sort of, like, discreet. Like, when you look at the move list and it's, like, down, left, X, like, it's just only, like, 4 projectile attacks and maybe 5 combos per character.
Mm.
Like, it is very easy to learn, and it... something I noticed playing, like, the PS2 generation ones, where it barely even had all of that, it actually just becomes a lot of, like, you know, like, either, like, it becomes very much just about looking for the gap in the opponent. Like, look for when they're about to attack or when they're just finishing attacking, and look for an opening and get it, and then do, like, one or two things. Whereas Soul Calibur is about sort of like the spinning and like stepping away and just being like, okay, you can do whatever you want because I'm going to be over here. Whereas Mortal Kombat is actually sort of like a simpler one because it's more like, I'm just going to wait. It's almost more like a Prince of Persia kind of thing. But then going from the PS2 era, they were like, well, it's full 3D. We got to do more with that. Mm. Going back to like 2000.
That's when they started fucking around with like weapon systems and stuff, right?
Right.
That stuff got
The weapon system made no sense. I still don't know. I think it's because they were trying to like add more moves and, you know, again, be like, there are more things that you could do. They didn't do it in a very good way. But then the newest Mortal Kombat, when they brought that back.
Very good.
They brought the projectile stuff back, and that game got really good.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
Story of the Year.
What are the other games are there?
12.3. Okay, so... anime 2D games. Your Guilty Gears. Your BlazBlues.
I haven't really thought about that. Those are very much...
Your Skullgirls.
Skullgirls is weird. Skullgirls is kind of like...
Those games are a lot about, like, knowing the specific ways to cancel and knowing your long chains and everything.
Yeah. So I think that's sort of going... Trying to go in between. Like, it's sort of about memorizing long chains, but... memorizing long chains, but at the same time, a lot sort of about, like, finding the shortest path between chains and between moves. Mm. Which a lot of people seem to like. Like, that's, I think that's sort of what makes a very technical fighter is.
Yeah,
the technical part is kind of like, okay, I have separate moves, but what is the quickest way to go between moves and between combos and stuff? And also about being able to counter and parry and all of that, and, like, a little bit of zoning. It's like, and also very much about... Like, how do I get around this that isn't just blocking? Or how do I get around this and give myself an opening? I think anything where you can give yourself an opening is a technical fighter.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. Virtua Fighter, I never fucking
played
Virtua
Fighter.
Yeah, I
don't know from that. The fucking King of Fighting, I don't know. I watched some of that at Evo, and I really liked the look of it, but I never fucking played it.
I mean, I think King of Fighter is almost sort of like right between like a Street Fighter and a Mortal Kombat. Like, I don't think they have long chains. It's a four-button fighter, but also
it's
like...
It's a four-button?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The ones I've played, actually. But, like it is very much about, like, okay, you have, like, you know, a couple of moves, maybe, like, two or three hit combos, but also I don't remember there being too much about, like, you know, cancels or armor or EX moves. Well, no, they got into EX moves eventually, but a lot of times it's just about, like, okay, I should either be out of range or be blocking until the time when I know I can get in. It's weird. Sometimes in a fighting game, the better thing to do is to know what your opponent is capable of.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than what you're capable of. Like, you just need to know, like, all your damage and then just know where his gaps are. Ugh. Gosh, fighting games.
Yeah.
And then there was, like, one other... Marvel vs. Capcom. That is your, like...
your fucking big screen spam. I don't even know what's going on.
Like, that... Like, Marvel vs. Capcom is a lot like... what do you call it? It's kind of like the 12.3.
Yeah,
because
a lot of zoning stuff, a lot of, like, projectiles and...
It's because I was finally playing 2, and I was playing as Jill, and I realized, you know, you put zombies and dogs and stuff, but that's all projectiles.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's a lot of projectiles, it's a lot of, like, you know, low highs, kind of like Mortal Kombat in that way, where it's about, you know, where on the screen are you going to have your projectiles land. But then they throw in the thing of having multiple characters, so there's, you know, the mix-up of characters, the mix-up of remembering, you know, who does your friend have in... it's like what Skullgirls does with, you know, your option thing, which is why that actually is really cool, but makes it really hard to do, because depending on each match, you, like, even if it's the same character setup, the same players, you may not know what the support attack is going to be.
I think there's more variance in the playstyles in those games, though, just because they have the large amount of characters. Like, you do have guys in MVC.
Marvel? Yeah.
Because, like, you do have guys like, you know, Magneto shooting beams and stuff. Thor shooting beams and stuff. Iron Man shooting beams and stuff. But then you have, like, I'm thinking about, like, 3 anyway. You have, like, Zero or Dante or, like, Hagar or, who's the guy from Bionic Commando? Spencer?
Yeah.
Nathan. Spencer's got, like, no projectiles, you know? Thor's got, like... Or, not Thor.
But he does have a grabby arm.
But he's got a grabby arm, so it's kind of like a teleport sort of thing.
And
that is kind of like a projectile.
And
it's
Dante,
like a range
Dante
grapple.
It's about, like, where on the screen is my hitbox going to be. That
is
kind of like a projectile. A lot wider attacks
in those games. A lot more area covered.
Yeah, like, that's the thing about MVC that sort of goes about it, because, like, you just have giant projectiles that don't always look like projectiles.
I guess that's true.
Whereas, like, 12.3 is a lot of, like, discrete projectiles, and you have, like, the actual, like, going through them and the difference between melee and projectile. Like, some things can hit you, other things can't, depending on your state that you choose to be in.
That's a totally different beast. Like, I don't think there's...
Like,
you can see a... I think you can see, like, if you wanted to go through, like, you could see a really clear lineage of, like... your mainstream fighting games, your Mortal Kombats, your Street Fighters, your, you know, all that stuff. I have no idea where fucking, like, if and where 12.3 plugs into any of that.
I think it's... I want you to imagine...
Did Loop Guru have,
Lugaru?
Yeah. Mark of the Wolves.
The rabbit fighting game.
No, that's Lugaru. I'm talking about, Mark of the Wolves with,
Oh, Bus Wolf.
Yeah. Did that have, like, dodge out of the way of projectiles?
Maybe? I know one of them had, like, two-tier fighting, like a foreground and a background.
Yeah, yeah.
That one was weird. I don't think it might have.
That's almost kind of the same thing because you're kind of changing your base state to give yourself to like put yourself out of.
But more movement on it. Here's the thing that I see as a, like the main difference, or like something that you could see as like a major difference that affects all of playstyle in MVC. Like when your characters are at the edge, like there's I don't feel like there's like no real time that you can get around a projectile. Which
sure
means
there is. There's like super double jumps in that game.
Vertical like, only, and then you come back down. But like in 12.3,
oh yeah, you can go straight through.
You can go through them, and I feel like there's a lot of times when even we're playing, like we'll throw something off, and then we'll go to the other side of the stage, and those projectiles are off the screen.
Yeah.
Like I can't think of a time in MVC where you can throw out a projectile and then it becomes meaningless because it leaves the screen.
Yeah, like that. That was something that I was just thinking about of like MVC. MVC is fucked because like.
It feels very small.
Yeah, like
because everything
follows
is so big,
like,
and you're so big.
It always follows like the two main guys, and their sprites are really huge and everything. But there is so much stuff that can be going on off screen. Like I have seen a professional player playing MODOK, whose strategy was just fly to the top of the screen, hover there, and throw cubes down, and hope that the other player loses track of their position.
Jeez. Well, yeah, like that's the kind of thing. Like either like
what bullshit game.
Yeah, I know, right? But yeah, like it's very much about like I don't know. I always felt like MVC was like very confined because you're so big and the projectiles are so big and there's kind of not much you can do about it. If they tried to mix it up and have like that's why Tekken Cross Street Fighter is going to be harder than Street Fighter Cross Tekken was because all you do is break up their combo chains into like smaller chunks and it basically works. You know, never mind getting around the type of
that's
like,
assuming Tekken Cross Street Fighter exists.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. That may never come out. But that's why that would be more interesting, because now all of a sudden you got to be like, well, how do we take Street Fighter moves and make super long combos out of them, especially if part of the idea is, like, introduce, like, throwing fireballs and stuff. Like, it kind of makes sense.
Or just make them do
thing.
Huge damage. Just have them be, like, the same combos and just make them do huge damage.
There was one more type of fighting game I was just thinking of. I was thinking about Endless Waltz for the SNES.
with really shitty shooting?
Well, because that's, like, the MVC, like, it's very narrow stages, but they're super tall. So, like,
yeah,
if you want to
true.
Escape, you jump.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, that's never made too much sense to me. Like, I would rather escape sideways or through.
Mm. What if we made a fighting game where the default projectile wasn't, like, straightforward, like a Hadouken or a Yoga Flame or whatever, but it was upwards, like the axe in Castlevania?
Maybe. they made a Castlevania fighter.
Everyone just shot up for some reason.
Yo, we good?
That was, like, Sakura's Hadouken. It's, like, super special.
It
went up.
And then there was, guys who just went, or not guys, dance, who just went, ho, the Hadouken, and it just
went
just a little bit and stopped.
Poof.
Yep. These guys are super talented.
Yo, PlanetSide 2 is really dope. And,
We only have bad news for Hype League, don't we?
Monster Hunter news.
Like, they're coming out with Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate?
Yeah.
And that's going to be on the Wii U? And
yep.
Something else, or just the Wii U?
The 3DS.
Oh, and the 3DS, because it's like the high-def version of
Monster Hunter 3G,
which
yeah.
was a 3DS one. So that's...
Which apparently they were saying, like, they didn't want to release in the States until they had, like, a mainstream console version.
Yeah.
Which I... Oh, I actually had a realization. Like, I had some kind of real thought on this about... It kind of shows that they're showing a lot of thought towards marketing it in the States, but maybe misguided thought.
Probably.
Like, if you look at it, like, it pretty much cements, like, Monster Hunter Portable 3rd and Portable 3rd HD as the Japanese Monster Hunter games. Like, they have connectivity between, you know, the PSP and the PS3.
Yeah.
And, like, who owns those things in the States? Very small market.
That's true.
And then you look at what they are releasing, and
it's
like... It's
Nintendo on Nintendo
stuff. It's a Nintendo thing. Huge market share, you know?
Which everybody's kind of saying, like, who's going to buy the Wii U? Like, it doesn't seem to be, like, aimed correctly at the people they're aiming at.
I don't know if Monster Hunter works as, like, a heavy-hitting launch title in the U.S.
No, I don't think...
I don't think it does at all.
If it's a thing on the Wii U, it may work. Like, there just needs to be something on that system.
Well, it's going to have a Mario.
One that nobody wants to play.
It's going to have Zombie U.
Because they've made four of them for the DS now, and they made one for the
Wii. Really? Four?
Well, no. There was New Super Mario Brothers, New Super Mario Bros. Wii, New Super Mario Bros. 2, and now this is going to be New Super Mario Bros. U, which is New Super Mario Bros. Wii 2.
New Super Mario Bros. 4.
But again, like, they're not... It's the one where you bubble.
Yeah.
And it's basically...
Doo-doo-doo.
And it's basically not, like, not going to be good. Yeah. And
Dancing
Koopas and, like, lame secrets.
Yeah.
Can we point that out? Like, that game had...
Super lame secrets.
So lame.
Hey, this wall has a big coin behind it.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like that because that's, like, a decent reason to go back and play levels. But you can also get a lot of that on your first run through if you're just being...
Like, are there any secret exits in that game?
There was.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, we had to find one once. But they're rare. Like, there's one per world, maybe.
Just fucking... Look, it's the same thing as Super Metroid. Just make mechanically and visually Super Metroid again, but with a different map.
Yeah.
Just make Super Mario World mechanically again with different maps.
They may not have anybody that clever left. Like, that. There was, some clever things in that game about, like, the way things
there
connected.
There was
so
much, like...
Like, there was so... Like, in game, there was, like, clever ways to break the mechanics.
There was so much, like, one-off stuff that was just, like, in a level or two
yeah.
in that game.
Yeah.
Like, the fucking dolphins, or those semi-see-through carpets in Bowser's Castle, or, There was, like, one level with fire-breathing dinosaurs and, like, no other levels.
Yeah!
And not just four games of Dancing Koopas.
But the only way the Wii U sort of makes sense is, like not at making hardcore games. Like, Bayonetta 2 on Wii U, what the hell?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not as mad about it as most people seem to be.
But again, well, because, like, nobody's, like... Like, that is, like, Nintendo has not made a game for, like, we are hardcore gamers, we own other systems, we don't want to buy a new system for game that we really want.
Looking at it, like, the lineup that I know about for the Wii U is kind of weird. Like, Zombie U is, like...
Zombie U kind of sounds like the best thing right now.
That doesn't pull any punches. Like, I've seen gameplay of that, and it's like zombies up in your face biting your shit.
While you're trying to do inventory and picking locks and shit.
And, like, Bayonetta, that is a severely adult game. Monster Hunter, which, I mean, they had it on the Wii, so I guess, like, that's just their wheelhouse now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe it's just because I haven't been keeping track of it. The 101.
I just got an interesting idea.
Okay.
Well, so the thing is, like, you look at, like, it's a new mechanic. What interesting thing can you do with that new mechanic?
The single-player hidden information thing.
Not that.
Okay.
There's, like, this basically affords two things. One is the asymmetrical gameplay with... basically by hiding information, which is what your Nintendo Land is going to be showing off, because that's all, like, the chase me stuff and all that.
Yeah. I hid some things in this room.
The other thing is the zombie use stuff, which is about, you know, diverting attention in gameplay.
Yeah.
What if we made, like, a new Need for Speed game, or just like a new kind of driving game, where up on the big screen you're driving, you're racing, you're doing whatever. Down on the lower screen, you're kind of playing, like, a visual novel where, like, you're trying to have conversations with the people riding with you in the car.
Ah, what the fuck?
And then, if you're focusing on the racing and you take too long to respond, like, they'll give you, like, multiple choice for the conversation. If you take too long to pick one and respond, they're just like, it's like you're never even listening to me. And, like, you lose social ranking with them or something.
All right, loot 'em, dare that shit. You got 7 days.
Okay. But like, that's the thing. Like, diverting attention is sort of what you're getting if you're not doing multiplayer stuff. Which, like, Zombie U looks like it's going to show that off good. But the problem is, what happens if we get, like, a whole bunch of games like that are just that? Like, just like, oh, you don't have time to manage your inventory. Like, I don't know how, like, they need to, like, find clever things to do with, like, that hook. Like, that is going to be your hook.
I guess.
But, you know, that's the other thing.
I don't know how I feel about, like, sort of hinging the gameplay mechanics of an entire generation of console on, like, a single gimmick or two.
But, I mean, like...
That's the greater problem with touch controls and movement controls and stuff. It's not just because of that thing, but it's just like, all right, here's what we're going to do for this generation. Movement controls. Here's what we're going to do for the next generation. You got a screen down here.
Yeah. Well, no, like, again, the Wii... The reason the Wii makes sense is Boom Blocks.
Yeah.
Like, that is the game, which is why we have motion controls that the Wii showed off, basically. Like, there was that, and there was adding, like, the tilt platforms to Mario.
Those were all right.
But even then, like, that was, like, halfway through. Then everything else, Like, all of the best games were games that were just like, just hold the controller sideways.
Just fuck
and
it.
Use, like, fuck it. Or plug in a classic controller. Do it. Do that.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Other M used it pretty well.
Yeah?
Yeah. You did sideways Wiimote for, like, running around and shooting things.
Yeah.
And then for... You would point it at the screen, and it would go to this first-person thing where you just lock on missiles, and then you turn it away, and she just, like, a huge missile burst, and you're just back to doing it like normal.
That sounds all right.
Yeah.
But like, again, like okay, you don't want to
make... Like, it was just one small thing.
Like, you don't want to make it a hook that, to the whole game, then just make it little things throughout the game. Which, again, like, the best thing that they've ever done with any of this, I think, was Killzone 2, where shaking the six axis while you were aiming a sniper rifle would aim your scope around, and it forced you to keep your hand still as you were going. You want to look at Manhunt and the way that if you had the mic plugged in, I don't want to look at it either, but if you had the mic plugged in, it would listen to your breathing and you'd have to be quiet in order to keep people from noticing you.
That's actually pretty dope.
It's super dope, but it's like a little thing.
Much
it
better
adds
done in
to
Deep
a gameplay.
Sea.
Like, but like that's the thing, like, yeah, no, like Deep Sea sounded fantastic. but yeah, like it's little things that add to it. Like, no, you can't make a giant game around it because then the game is a gimmick. But, you know, Boom Blocks, the Boom Blocks was the right game for that gimmick. And you can base the whole thing around, and it's great and fucking awesome. That's it. Like, that's kind of it, though. Like, I don't know anything else that was, like, heavy motion. Like, I've heard Skyward Sword, but then again, like, the issues I've heard about Skyward Sword were that they explain everything to you, like, 12 times.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that's like a different argument.
I think aside from the motion controls, that just wasn't a well-designed game.
It could have been that, yeah.
What is this podcast about?
This podcast is about, now I think we're done and we should go get pizza.
Yeah, let's go have a slice of pizza.
I mean, we had bad news for Hype League.
What was your bad news?
I'm trying to remember. No Metal Gear Solid Revengeance in Japan.
And on the 360.
On the 360, because they were like, fuck, I don't know.
Which may have repercussions.
I doubt it.
Okay.
I mean, who I don't
but
know.
But to all of our
happened.
Japanese 360 owning listeners, we are very apologies.
Classic Rise of the Triad was on sale for like $3 for one day, but I got like 12 different news stories telling me about it over the course of 3 days.
For real?
Yeah, that was weird. That's about all I know. And then you had Monster Hunter 3 news, which wasn't 4 news.
Yeah.
There is a way to look at it to find what that says about Monster Hunter public face and marketing strategies and stuff as a whole. I'm not in the right mind to come up with that.
Yeah, I was thinking about it more the other day, but I've lost it right now. I can come back to it later. Heart of the Swarm update. Carriers are back in. Warhounds are out.
Okay. What are my other games? They're changing prestige mode. I don't know how.
dive kick.
fighting is magic. They've made another official post to talk about how they're holding an official tournament at another one of the
at BronyCon.
At another MLP con. I don't think it was. I think it was like Equestrian Guardian or something like that.
Okay.
They're giving away. I think they like came out with like special prints that they're giving away to winners or participants or something like that, signed by the team. So like, yeah, they're still good in the thing, but whatever.
Nifty.
Aside from that, there's just been like a lot of videos of people playing like leaked versions and talking about how the game works and trying to do strategy guides and shit already.
Oh.
Before the game is done.
Nah.
So that's cool. It means people are excited for it.
Yeah. The community is trying their best to exist.
Woo.
PlanetSide 2 is really dope. Hype.
Okay.
This has been a podcast. You can send us emails and Twitter and iTunes feedback and stuff.
Just fucking put an elite coup and we're there.
Go to the website. You already got the podcast. You know.
Go on the internet and just say, elite coup! And then we'll just hear you and we'll walk over and be like, hey, what's up?
If you want to watch some videos or maybe read a comic or play some games.
Or see the face of your unborn child before it's born.
Etc. Give credit.
Credit is 25 cents per play.
And don't fucking edit pictures from Pixiv and post them on Tumblr like they're your own.
Or, fuck it.
3, 2, 1, fuck it.